You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
When I was 18, I felt called to the ministry, and so I enrolled in a Bible college in Saskatchewan, Canada, where I was living at the time and had graduated high school. And at first, my family was very excited about a son being called into the ministry, and they thought that was pretty special. Until that first Christmas break, when I returned home full of new knowledge about the Bible and proceeded to take my mother's nativity scene and make it more historically accurate by taking the wise men to the furthest point they could go in the house, because I had learned that the Magi didn't show up in the manger scene, but showed up about 2 years later and visited the couple at their house. So I wanted the manger scene to be more reflective of the scripture, and so I took, while my mother was sleeping, the Magi and moved them to the farthest part of the house I could. That did not go well. My mother, being a strict nativity person, wanted them right there in the collective picture. But every evening when she would go to bed, I thought it would be funny to take her beloved Magi and take them far away so that they could see the star and begin their travels. This story is an amazing story, and it has a surplus of meaning, layers and layers of meaning. And even if you just begin to scratch the surface, you realize that these magi, these philosophers or magicians, we have that magi word, it comes from the same word we get magician from, men who studied, they were learned. But one of the things you quickly realize is these are not part of the Hebrew people. These are not part of the Jewish tradition. These are not Christians. These are people of a different nationality, people of a different religion, people of a different skin color who live very far away. And they are reading a different book. They are not reading the Hebrew Testament with all of its legends. They are reading the book of the stars. They are reading the book of creation. And there is in that they have a revelation. They have an epiphany. They wake up to a new star, and they know that it has significant meaning, and so in response, they begin a journey. And in just this simple fact, you realize that in the Christ event, in the things that we celebrate around Christmas, that God is not only doing something with his covenant people, fulfilling the expectations of the Hebrew Testament, but we know, primarily as Gentile believers, that God was also reaching out to those who were not part of that initial covenant. And so we are part of a new covenant. But we also realize that there's a third thing going on, because it's not an either or, that there's a third thing going on, which is that God was pleased to involve those who were part of yet a totally different religion, nationality, tribe. And so as they come in response to this call of God, as they follow the star, one of the reasons we love the nativity scene, the way we classically set it up, is because we can proclaim the goodness that in this picture, God in Christ has brought together those who are well-learned and those who are not, those who are poor and those who are rich. They come bearing these elaborate gifts. And that God has brought together those who are very near and those who were very far. And in all of these things, the Christ event connects those who are high and low, rich and poor, near and far. And that is a fantastic message. Praise be to God. But if we go no further, then that becomes somewhat of a Hallmark message. It's slightly sanitized. Because if you hear the rest of what's going on in the text, there is political conflict, there is violence, there are so many other things happening. So if we just stop there, we have one message. But what I want you to see today is that there is a surplus of meanings going on in this one text. So we don't want to discount the Hallmark version of the nativity scene, because it's somewhat true. And if you just preach that one thing, you have preached a very good news message, the gospel. That this is what God was doing in Christ, reconciling all things to God's self. And this is a beautiful message. So if we stop there, just in that first level, we have a fantastic message of good news for the world. But if we continue on, we see that as we follow God's leading, as we follow the star, so we call the star, we kind of put that in for God's leading, it leads us into conflict, and it always will. When we follow God, when we respond to the call as God is leading us, it will lead to conflict, because the way that God reigns and rules in the world stands in stark contrast and in conflict to the principalities and powers of this world. That the government of God, the kingdom in which we are all related as children of God, is in stark contrast to the way the governments of this world run. And there will be conflict with governments and kings. So it's odd that the Magi get called three kings. We sing the song, "We Three Kings," right? They get elevated from being, you know, philosophers, magicians, astronomers, to being kings, because they were clearly people of influence. But in that motif, you see them coming into a different kingdom, a principality. And so they run into conflict with Herod. Herod was the king of the Jews, kind of a nickname. But we ultimately know that Jesus will be mocked for being the king of the Jews, or proclaiming to be the king of the Jews. And so for this story, we're going to call him the Prince of Peace. So you have we three kings come into the territory of Herod the Tetrarch, right? This little puppet principality under Rome's watch. And it leads into conflict, that the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of our God in Christ come into conflict, because the Prince of Peace is coming into the world to lead in a completely different way. When we say yes to God and follow God into the things that God is calling us to do, it will result in conflict. And so we have a second sermon, that if we follow God, if we see the star and respond, we can expect that this will lead to conflict. So that's the second layer. Yet a third layer is that you have the crossing of boundaries and borders. And so the Magi, as they travel in, they cross a border, a governmental border, and they have to report to the governmental system that Herod is in charge of. But this is like shooting a pool cue into a racked set of pool balls, and it scatters. It sets off a chain reaction, because the Magi coming into this territory causes a chain reaction that ends up forcing Mary and Joseph out across a different border into a different governmental system. So in this political environment, when people respond to the calling of God, what you have is both immigrants and refugees. And sometimes, you know, as a preacher, you get a text like this and you think, you know, I just wish this had anything to do with our modern world. I wish in some way Scripture in any way addressed the things that I see in the news during the week. If only issues of boundaries and borders, of governments and immigrants and refugees. Sometimes the Bible just seems very far away. Has nothing to say about our world. No. If you look at any section of Scripture, you are most likely, from the Exodus story to God's faithfulness with Ruth, to the captivities in Babylon, to Jesus's initial foray as he has to go to Egypt for survival, and the story of the Magi coming, and then into Pentecost and the shattering of the good news into every tribe and tongue around the world, it will be nearly impossible to read any segment of Scripture and not notice that God crosses boundaries and shatters borders, unless you are intentionally trying to avoid it. I am a dual citizen with Canada. I'm an American-Canadian dual citizen, and I am very sensitive to issues of people moving across borders. So when I watch the news, I am very aware of what it is to have allegiances in one place and then migrate to another, to apply to that new place and to pledge an allegiance there, to be in conflict, for things to be uncertain. When war breaks out, to think about where your allegiance is and where you should be. If things are going to get worse, do you want to be here or there? I understand the complications. So when I watch the news, I'm very sensitive to this. And when I read scripture, it's very apparent to me. God often is at work when you both see immigrants and refugees. I love to read the story in the book of Acts, because those who were most comfortable in one culture, I'd like to think about, as I read it, God going, oh my goodness, they're going backwards. You know what I need? I need a dual citizen. So he calls on Saul of Tarsus, Saul soon to became Paul, who was a Jew of Jews by his own admission, but also a Roman citizen. And by transgressing that boundary, he was able to accomplish the will of God and lead the people of God into the place that God was calling. When we are too comfortable, when our citizenship is too certain, when our boundaries are too permanent, we need to be careful. Because if there's one thing that the testimony of Scripture we clearly see, is that when people are on the move, God is often at work. And whether they are immigrants on purpose or refugees in reaction, we need to watch them because God may be among them. So we have the hallmark kind of layer one. That's one sermon. We have that if you follow God, it will lead you into conflict. Number two, a third layer is boundaries and borders. And so we have three sermons in the three magi. And we have a surplus of meaning. In fact, if we wanted to continue, and I'm not going to, we could focus on the sentence at the end of the passage that says they returned by a different way. Because the one thing you will know is that if you follow God into the place of God's calling, you often won't be able to come back ever again the same way you got there, because you're changed in the response. But I'm actually just going to stop there, because three sermons for three magi is a better sermon title for the podcast. If I go with four or five, it's going to get messy, and then it won't have like that symmetry. So I just want to say, in any text, we are right, whether we do it with a children's pageant or a Hallmark card or however we want to do it, the slightly sanitized version is fine because it holds good news. But if we want to go a little deeper and pull it apart a little bit, there will be a surplus of meaning, and you will find God at work in the most surprising places. So that's my prayer for us this morning as we begin a new year, that as we watch the news, as we cross paths with people in our city that God loves so much, I pray that we will be surprised where we find God at work. May it be true of us. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.